Hey friends, on this episode of the Danny Morrell Show, I want to introduce you to a wonderful human being and friend, Miss Sarah Dykema. Sarah has an incredible story in which she is able to juggle a whole bunch of stuff going on at home, a whole bunch of stuff going on at life, while also being an incredible top-producing real estate professional. So join us for a couple of moments as we find out the insight into how to juggle your personal life and still kick butt at work.
You have limitless potential. Your possibilities are endless. You are a warrior for your family, and they deserve the absolute best. My passion is to help you be more, do more, and as a result, have more of what you really deserve. Welcome to your weekly guide that will help ensure your vision becomes a reality. This is the Danny Morrell Show.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Danny Morrell Show. I've got my friend Sarah Dykema here with us. Sarah, say hello.
Hello.
And I'm excited to introduce you to Sarah for a couple of different reasons. The main one, and we were just talking about this, Sarah, being that I this week on Instagram, I posted something that several of you caught, and you messaged me about it. Something came to me that I felt like I share with all of you guys, and that's that there are three transition points in business that you kind of have to go through in your ascension to being a great business person. And the first one is employee to salesperson. You know, especially for those of you that are in real estate sales, which is our field, or mortgage or title, that there's a transition point and there are sticking points that happen that sometimes don't allow people to make that transition. The second one is from a salesperson to a business person. And then the third eventually is business person to CEO. And one of the things that I see that holds people back, and particularly, Sarah, in your case, being a mother, mm-hmm. that is, I think, a little bit extra, even more difficult for moms, rightfully so, is the fact that you've got so much going on at home, mm-hmm. yet at the same time, you're trying to balance your goals for your career and your sales, so forth and so on, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought that we'd spend a couple of moments talking about that, because I know a lot of our listeners deal with the same thing. And I thought we'd have a good time doing that. Sound good?
Sounds great.
So first off, just tell us a little bit about yourself. Give me like the Sarah Dykema story.
The Sarah Dykema story. Yes, okay. Yes. Elevator speech. I've been in real estate coming up on my third year, about 2.5 years.
You feel like a vet, by the way.
You
feel like you've been doing this for a while. But that's a good thing. That's
I appreciate
thing.
That.
I kind of just called you old right
no,
now.
That's,
is that right?
That's good. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
And so prior to real estate, I was working. I have a master's in social work. Mm. So I was somewhat kind of using my degree. I say I'm social and I work. But just a little hind story of who I am. I know a lot of people kind of want to hear a little bit more of the behind-the-scenes
sure.
story. I'm a mom of two little boys, 2 and 4, and I'm married to my husband, Jeff. Yeah. One of the things we'll talk about is my husband is in a wheelchair. He's a quadriplegic.
Yes.
So he had a spinal cord injury when he was college age, basically.
Which I can't wait to dig into that story, because I had never known the story until I heard your podcast.
Got it.
Which we'll introduce you to her podcast in a second as well. But keep going. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. So I think that's where we'll just to kind of preface
right.
some of what the things are at home that I'm dealing with and yeah. then, you know, how that projects into my business. So
look, Sarah, I'll tell you, I have the good fortune of not only coaching all of the agents at Intero, which Sarah happens to be one of our agents at Intero as well, coaching agents now across the country through Empire University. And I like to call it helping mm-hmm. So many people through the podcast, through Instagram, through social media. And one of the sticking points and transition points that I find happens from people that are going from employee to salesperson and eventually from salesperson to business person is there is such an emotional attachment to the things that happen in our life. And those attachments and those stories and those meanings that we create about the things that happen in our life end up derailing so many people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's things like, you know, my bills are late, or it's things like so-and-so is sick, or it's things like, a deal just got lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that the people that are able to successfully transfer to being a business person, somehow have a way to detach the negative meaning and are still able to not only function, but thrive in the midst of whatever goes on, while the people that are having a difficult time, it really weighs heavy on them. Mm-hmm. Like it really, and I'm doing this physically because it feels, you know, for me, when I'm hearing these stories, like a pound of weight that is on people's mm-hmm. backs. You know?
People even carry themselves differently.
I mean, they physically. Really do physically.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's so interesting that you say that because just sitting here, you're such a confident woman. Mm-hmm. The way you sit, everything, you carry yourself in a certain way, and no one would know, Sarah, that you've got your own story and your own struggles, just like everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about that. What do you think the difference is? And if you want to start by sharing with us your story, feel free.
Okay. Well, I don't always, you know, it's hard to know exactly because I only know myself.
Sure.
But something I know that I've been told in the past is a lot of people will call me Pollyanna.
Pollyanna.
Miss Positivity, kind of the woo, you know, and not always am I. You can come home with me on an afternoon and find out it's not all, you know,
Pollyanna.
Yeah. It's not all Pollyanna. My husband would disagree at times. But I think I think a lot of it is that positive feeling and that positive outlook on life.
Yeah.
You know, there is such a huge, it wasn't until I got into real estate that I really started being coached more on mindset. Mm-hmm. But I think mindset really is a huge part. And I know we start to just hear that word and we almost lose meaning to what mindset
sure.
really is.
Sure.
But it's not until you put yourself in a position to learn and thrive and be vulnerable and uncomfortable that you can start to rip some of that away from you.
Got it.
And start to learn how to cope, how to thrive amidst all the chaos and amidst all the issues in your life.
It's so funny you say that because I get messages all the time like, I need help with my mindset. I think what it is people are really saying, I need help juggling the stress mm-hmm. Of life,
mm-hmm.
you know, really of life. And then, you know, life already as it is going to bring its challenges.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, you decide to become an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself is a challenge
yeah.
because whatever financial security you had is now gone.
Mm-hmm.
You now have to go make it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how have you learned to juggle this best in the last 3 years?
You know, something I feel, and I might be totally off on this, Danny, but for me personally, taking risk and doing things that you wouldn't normally think of yourself as doing, sometimes it just puts you in a place where you have no other
option.
to swim, it's sink or swim.
Yeah.
You know, and it's basically like getting in the middle of that channel and I need to keep going or I'm going to turn back no matter what. I'm in the middle and I've got to figure my way out of that.
Right.
And so jumping in full force for me has always been a tactic. And I don't know if that's a coping mechanism or if that's just my mindset. Sometimes I think it's one or the other.
Sure.
I married a quadriplegic. You don't think that was a big risk in my
life?
That
was an enormous risk.
So,
yeah.
And it's not just about me. There's other people in my life. So what, sometimes it's that, you know, as selfish as sometimes I want to be, I have to make decisions for other people too. I have other people weighing and dependent on the decisions I make. And so the more risk I take, the more uncomfortable I become, the more vulnerable, the less I even think about what could happen, because guess what? Now I'm in the middle of the channel.
And the more you become.
Yeah.
That's the way I see
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the more you're forced to grow.
So those rewards that you're reaping, they far outweigh, you know,
the risk,
you know, and, there's just things you do that are really uncomfortable. I really live by the model. I do my best to live by the model, be the smallest minnow in the biggest pond.
Got it.
The minute you feel that you're too big and you feel that ego's creeping up and you're getting scared to make bigger choices in life, you better jump over into another big pond. Why do you think I came to Intero?
Right. I got it. So tell me Jeff is a quadriplegic.
Quadriplegic. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my husband, Jeff, when he was 18, it was his third week of his freshman year of college. So pretty pivotal year in his life,
mm-hmm.
Was just out at the lake, lived in Michigan, and he just kind of ran into the lake and took a little, he hates me saying dive because it wasn't a dive, but it was a shallow jump into a sandbar and basically broke his neck. And so from there, but he's went off and graduated college with 2 degrees, business, graphic design. He is an amazing person, and he's somebody, I think for me, one of the things I was so attracted by was his positivity in life, mm-hmm. his patience, his ability to move past. I'm not the one with the obstacle, he is. You know, yeah, I'm the one, right. He may need my help getting up and around, but like, he's the one that can't walk. And so if I'm going to sit around and have a fear problem in my life, it's not about that. So yeah. It's that outward perspective of there's bigger things and I want to be a part of it. And I want to be like that.
Absolutely. So there's a challenge for you guys in and of itself on a day-to-day basis.
Sure. Yeah.
And then on top of that, you guys decide to have kids.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah. So adding a family, we ended up adopting our boys. We went through the foster system. So we fostered our boys and then we finally adopted both. They
awesome.
Were finalized.
Awesome.
And so it's chaos. Like life is a mess and it's hard, but it's fun. It's a roller coaster and every day is a new adventure. But those boys only gave me more reason to be the best I could be.
Heck yeah.
And you know, when we were early on in real estate, which is still, I feel like I'm still early on, but, a lot's gone on. I feel like there was a perspective I wanted to live by. And that was, do I want my life to fit the plan or my plan to fit the life? And really, I wanted my life to fit the plan, fit the vision that
right.
I felt God was giving me.
Right.
And if I felt I had this vision for my family and it was our job to go and get it, then the life had to fit that plan.
Absolutely.
And so sometimes I think if we've got that backwards, that's where fear gets
that's
in
where
the
fear
way.
Gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And holds you back from your plan, from what you're supposed to do in the world.
And I know, Sarah, for you and for your family, God is a... is the cornerstone. It's this, he's the centerpiece for you.
Absolutely.
Right? How does God and your relationship with God help you to deal with, I mean, look, I can only imagine, how difficult it must be.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you seem to handle it with such grace.
Mm.
Like you really, really do, you know? And, I guess that's a God thing.
Mm. I need God.
Me,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I first and foremost, I'm thankful for the people that extend grace to me because
sure.
I think life is hard, and the people that are always supporting us and always helping us. We co-own a home with my parents.
Okay.
I'm an only child, so it works out great. So they're always on point with the kids, helping us, you know, getting us where, you know, helping the family
sure.
unit. They're a big
sure.
part of this picture,
yeah.
And you know, I think for me, knowing that this is a calling and just being obedient to that.
Yeah.
That helps with the fear. It's not supposed to be easy breezy just going from one thing to the next.
Okay. So I'm gonna throw you a little curveball here.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Because I really want you to help people.
Okay.
And you know what? And I really want you to help our female listeners.
Okay.
I've got a special heart for female listeners. And my wife always says this, especially for like single moms. Because
mm.
my mom was a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for me, I understand that struggle,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I really want to teach people the following principle. The way you think and the way that you see the things that are going on in your life is critical. The meaning that you give to things that happen, it's critical. And literally, I've been around people for so long, Sarah, that as you said the words, my family is there to help. I know what someone's ego said.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's ego said, I don't have a family now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a trip. But that's mm-hmm. just, it's just the way, you know, there's some people that are just conditioned to see what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioned to see the obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioned to see what's negative.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you didn't have a family. You would find a way, correct?
I would.
Yeah.
I would. And honestly, there are times, and you know, my husband's comfortable with me saying this because it's the reality. There are times I feel like a single mom. Of course, I have an emotional support, but there's a physical part of that where I've got to have four arms, you know.
Sure.
There's times where he hasn't been able to take kids to and from because the seatbelt is just,
yeah.
it's not that stage in life where they're in a booster seat and can do it themselves.
Right.
But with that being said, I think it really comes back, Danny, to vision and calling.
Absolutely.
And being obedient to that. If you're, everybody on this planet has a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to figure it out. And if we're constantly in the way of that job, then we're holding ourselves back from serving and helping the people that we're supposed to help. So the more you allow fear, the more you allow obstacles to become your excuse, the less you're being able to obtain your calling and what you're doing in your job and your career and all of that. You lose that ability to help people. And I don't want to take it lightly for moms that are single moms.
Not at all.
And people that are struggling through hardship. But at the end of the day, sometimes it just means slowing down and extending grace to yourself. That was the biggest thing I took away from Vision.
And Vision.
Oh, my anxiety level has like it's gone. From
just
that.
Okay, so what she just said is you all should come to Relentless.
Yes.
Because magic happens at our seminars.
And Jeff came too.
He
made big changes too.
That is awesome. So. Yeah. By the way, you know, it's so funny you mentioned that because I'm seeing like his website is up now.
Mm-hmm.
His business is up. You know,
yep.
I did notice that.
Yep.
It's you know, sometimes I'm so busy just in my own mind that I just catch things. And yep. I remember seeing that.
Yep.
Good for him. That
yep.
is awesome. That's awesome. So Sarah, give me a couple of pointers. By the way, you're kicking butt in business. So tell me, year one, how many deals did you close?
20.
20. Do you guys think maybe there's a little something to this positive outlook on stuff and not giving negative meaning and not giving, you know, I closed 28 my first year. And I don't let anything, I mean, stuff is going to happen, people. I just don't let it bother me.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you have a knack or a gift for finding the positive in every situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many did you close last year?
22. So.
And how many will you close this year?
My goal is 28.
28. And all while juggling a mm-hmm. family and everything that you're doing, that is absolutely fantastic.
Thanks.
Give me some business pointers, because obviously when it comes to mindset,
mm-hmm.
You are doing pretty well in that category. What is working for you in your business right now? Because I feel like that's another area where people sometimes see a closed door.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see a closed door, guys, guess what's going to be in front of you? A closed door, right? You need to look at the possibility and you need to be able to understand that there is no shortage of business. You just have to find out how to go out and get there. So get it. So what's working for you?
So I think the more obstacles you have, the better you should be at your business. Because the tighter you have to be in work, the smarter you have to work, the higher your standards are. And for me, I think that was my biggest win my first year, was that I had to say no to listings my first year.
You did?
I did.
Wow.
I had a business. I hit my listing goal, and anything after that, I wouldn't take less than 6%. So I said no to like 3 listings.
Wow.
My first year, because I thought, if my skill's not high enough, then I don't deserve it. And I think I made the money I said I was going to make. Now the rest is all about the business and how I'm going to get better. So I think being detached,
mm-hmm.
but standards are huge for me.
We talk about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about that a lot.
Absolutely.
I remember in my business, I ultimately believe that standards are what helped me get to the level of sales that I
mm-hmm.
got to. Because when you have the right standards, you will do the right things to make sure you're meeting with the right people.
Absolutely.
And not meeting with or working with the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And we'll say single moms, because we brought that up. I think there's times in our schedules as moms where picking up my kid is a listing appointment.
Absolutely.
I mean, so you have to, if people aren't willing, you need to know your preferred client.
Yes.
I know my preferred client like that.
Yes.
And if they, every time I'm talking to somebody, not only are they interviewing me, we're interviewing them. And if we don't fit, I will refer them out and move on. Because if that's not going to work within my business standard, I know it's not going to work long term. And it's going to hold me back from becoming who I want to become.
Well, this is what people don't realize. They're, you know, again, one of the issues is there's a scarcity mindset.
Mm.
And when there's a scarcity mindset, your approach to business is, I'll take whatever comes.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny, but I'm touring right now. I'm going to be in Boston next week, Colorado the next week, Northern California the following, New York the following. And, you know, my talk is how we went from literally dead broke, zero, no money, mm-hmm. to where we are today. And I talk about some standards that people have had to have in their lives. And one of them is, you have got to understand who your ideal client is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like we attracted Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a wonderful human being we can bring value to her life. She's going to grow. It's a great partnership. But then there's also people who we bring into the company. We bring value to their life. Egos explode. They get out the back door. It's like, you know, that's okay. They're just not a fit for the company because they're not our ideal people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And when you're working with the wrong client, everybody, please pay attention. That will bring so much drama in your life that it will give you more stress, less time away from your children, more time dealing with issues that you really wouldn't be dealing with if you were working with your ideal client. So a great point Sarah brought up. Know who your ideal client is. So important. Anything to add?
And then just, I think time management, honestly, you know, I really look at, we work in a company with a lot of young, unmarried people and they'll spend all day in the office and I'm like, get a second job or something, or go pretend you have a second job and make time to leave the office and get rest and relaxation. Because if your brain's not amped up to get up the next morning to start over again, you're just running dry. And so know what fills your tank and be really clear what drains it, and make sure there's a balance there.
Say that again. Know what fills your tank.
Know what fills your tank, but for sure know what drains it.
I love it.
So you can keep a healthy balance there. Sometimes it's going to be more drained, but at least you know, hey, I got to leave today. I did my job. I got to go for a hike. You know, I'm feeling drained. Awesome. Sitting there calling 20 more people might not be what you need to do that day.
I talked about that at Vision as well.
Yeah, you did.
You know, and it's so interesting. We were just at a trip in the Grand Canyon where we saw the most beautiful waterfalls there are. If you haven't seen those pictures, go check them out on Instagram. We went to a place called Havasupai Falls. And what I realized is that just recharged me. It really did. And so, you know, Claudia and I are committing once a quarter to do a trip like that, because there's no way that you can be a blessing to other people if you're not blessing yourself. You guys have got to get that.
And taking care of your support system and the people close to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Sarah, you just recently took a little bit of a leap of faith. I have been pushing and pushing and pushing people to get on social media, to just get in front of the camera, to really let the world know what it is that you do and let yourself shine. And you actually did it. And you did it, you know, probably the better than I even expected for you to do it. But you started your own podcast.
I did.
Tell me about the podcast. What's the vision of the podcast?
So we're rolling out our new kind of brand, Purpose Life Homes.
Purpose Life Homes.
Yep. Basically kind of around everything we've talked about, bringing my own value and faith and everything into my business and experiences. So the podcast, I'm actually teamed up with a 30-year veteran radio broadcaster. So she came off the air.
What's her name again?
Irma Blanco. She's on Coalesce. She's been on KBIG.
Yes, that name sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So Irma's been around. She's a familiar voice. And so she and I are teaming up, and we're going to be doing interviews every Tuesday.
Awesome.
And then once a month, we'll be doing the YouTube channel videos of the client videos. So,
I love it. I love it. So for all of you that want to learn a little bit more about Sarah, I highly recommend the podcast. How do they find out about
Head to my website, purposelifehomes.com. Purposelifehomes.com.
Awesome.
And everything's there.
And you know, it's so interesting, Sarah, but you know, we've been doing these shows live recently. Mm-hmm. And so we've been able to have questions. And so I know people are going to have questions for you once they listen to the show. Particularly, ladies, listen. If I can give you any tip, look, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're dealing with, reach out to people. Mm-hmm. There's wonderful people out there. You know already, you message me, I message you back myself personally right away. Sarah will message you. She will help you out. There's a lot of great human beings out there that are doing great things that are willing to help you out. So how do they get a hold of you?
Probably through Purpose Life Homes Facebook.
Oh,
and
cool.
You can send me a message through Messenger on there. So Purpose Life Homes through Facebook. And then my cell phone's on there too. You're always welcome to call or text.
I love it. I love it. Any final tips for that mom that says, wait, can you please tell me how to, you know, what are your final thoughts?
I think you have to be as tight and as high of a standard as you have to have. You have to learn to say no with that. Yeah. But you have to have a little bit of brain flexibility there too. If you're just feeling constantly pulled down, slow down.
Yeah.
Be okay. I don't know if you noticed, I said 20 deals the first year, 22 the next.
I love that, by the way.
That was not a big jump.
It wasn't.
And that's a hard thing for me to say.
Well, but you know what? But it's I'm proud of you to say for saying that, because people sometimes don't get it. Like mm-hmm. they say, I interview people, or I'm you know, people are emailing me for coaching or whatever. They say, how many deals did you do last year? 10. Great. How many do you want to do this year? 40.
Right.
How do you, 40? Like, yeah. If number one, if you were that energetic, that passionate, that motivated, that inspired, yeah. how did you only do 10
right.
in the first year?
Mm-hmm.
And then what the heck is going to happen to make you jump all the way to 40 right. in the second year?
Right.
You know, why don't we go for maybe 20
mm-hmm.
and then maybe the next year 30 and then maybe the next year 40? Or like what you're doing is you're slowly creeping mm-hmm. up and building great relationships with your clients to establish a great database.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because Danny, you've definitely brought in that perspective of watering that tree you have.
Sure.
Those roots need to be so deep within the first couple of years. Otherwise, that thing could just be ripped up and taken away. And so for me, that's meaning that I'm not going to go from 20 to 40. I'm going to go from 20 to 22. But believe me, I'm getting referrals, and they're those roots are deep, getting deeper, and my business is growing. And
the right pace at the right pace.
Yes. So be okay with that.
Absolutely. That's better than going from 20 to 40 to 19 mm-hmm. to 37 to 58 to 50,
yeah.
which happens all the time, guys, all the time.
Yeah.
I love it. Awesome. So this has been another episode of the Danny Morrell Show. Guys, if you don't know, I'm going to be pretty much around the country here in the next couple of weeks. Go to DannyMorrell.com/events. And I believe we're going to be in Boston, Colorado, New York, and San Jose here in the upcoming weeks. And then if you haven't gotten your ticket, should they go to Relentless?
Oh, come on. Why wouldn't they have their ticket yet?
Well,
so just well, get well, your
no, no,
ticket.
No, no, no. Hold on. Okay, no, no. We just opened up another can of worms. So let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened, Sarah. And this is proof that it's not always money. It's what's going on up here.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a poll up on Instagram the other day, and I said, be honest with me. Are finances what's holding you back from getting a ticket to Relentless? I had 75 people message me yes.
Hmm.
So, you know, I've got a good heart. Like, you know that.
Yeah,
like, I genuinely want to help absolutely. People out. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have my staff message each and every one of these people personally, one by one, and we offer them a special deal. Like a no-brainer deal for a three-day event with Alex Rodriguez, Andy Frisella, Ed Miles, Sarah Centrella, Gerard Adams, and myself. No-brainer. Guess how many people responded?
I don't even know.
Two. So you see, guys, this conversation is one that is so deep and so true, because we have an issue right now. And the issue is that on social media, everyone is enamored with these motivation gurus and, you know, with cars of Ferraris and so forth and so on. I want to be honest with you, and I want to be truthful with you. And that is that if you don't learn to work on your mind, if you don't learn to take risk, if you don't learn to detach negative meanings from things, I'm just going to be honest with you, you're going to be 50, 60, 70 years old someday looking back thinking, son of a gun, I did not fulfill the purpose in my life.
Right.
And that drives me absolutely through the wall. Like I hate that is a potential outcome for people. And that's why I do what I do. And that's why we have this podcast, and that's why we're having Relentless. So if you haven't done it already, go to relentlessevent.com, get your ticket. It's going to be an incredible 3 days. I know you think $199 is a big deal or whatever the ticket is, but let me tell you, honestly, it doesn't even cover the cost of the seat. Trust me. All right. Anything that?
What if you're not supposed to be there for yourself and it's somebody else and you're holding somebody else back because
yeah.
you're supposed to be helping them? And
yeah.
we get so caught up in ourselves.
We really, really.
Sorry.
Really
that's another can of worms.
That's another can of worms. That's another episode. Maybe we'll talk about that one on your show when
okay.
I'm on your show.
Yes.
But until next week, guys, thank you for joining us. Thank you for always watching. We appreciate your support. Watch us on YouTube. Watch us on Facebook Live. Probably not next week because I'll be in Boston, but the following week we'll be back live on Facebook Wednesday mornings, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.